Good morning. There were big wins yesterday for President Obama.
We finally declared that in America, health care is not a privilege for a few, but a right for all.
The Supreme Court upheld the nationwide tax subsidies under the health care overhaul. It was a 6-3 ruling that preserves health insurance for more than 6.4 million people. The challenge centered around subsidies, which 8.7 million people currently receive to make insurance affordable. Opponents contended that under the law, whether or not people receive subsidies depends on where they live. The justices disagreed. In the challenger's view, the phrase "established by the state" in the law demonstrated that subsidies were to be available only to people in states that set up their own exchanges. But Chief Justice John Roberts wrote that limiting the subsidies only to individuals in states with their own exchanges could well push insurance markets in other states into a death spiral. President Obama, confident his health care reform will endure after he leaves office in 2017, made remarks in the Rose Garden.
This law is working exactly as it's supposed to. In many ways, this law is working better than we expected it to. For all the misinformation campaigns, all the doomsday predictions, all the talk of death panels and job destruction, for all the repeal attempts, this law is now helping tens of millions of Americans.
In other news, the House approved final pieces of Obama's trade agenda and sent them to his desk. The House vote was 286-138 on Thursday for a trade preferences bill. It includes money to retrain workers displaced by trade deals. The vote now is clear for the Obama administration to wrap up negotiations on the TPP, the 12-nation Pacific Rim trade deal, and send it to Congress under newly approved fast-track rules. Obama and most GOP leaders say U.S. products must reach more markets. The Electronic Frontier Foundation says TPP would give Obama and the U.S. Trade Representative almost unilateral power to negotiate secret anti-user trade deals and harmful digital regulations. Unions and liberal groups say free trade agreements hurt U.S. jobs, undermine key consumer, public health, and environmental protections. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York.
I am personally very happy and very proud of this legislative package. I think it's responsive to the problems that we're pressing the state right now. I think it actually is a very robust and extensive legislative package of reforms that goes a long way towards making the state a better state.
Governor Andrew Cuomo at a news conference yesterday afternoon in Albany. He spoke proudly of an education reform package which extends parental choice. In reality, it gives public money to parochial and charter schools. Mindy Rozier is a longtime public school special ed teacher, and she's an education advocate. She says this makes absolutely no sense.
The whole argument with parental choice is that a lot of parents are unhappy with the local public schools, so they want to be able to send their kids to other schools. What usually causes a school to be troubled is usually the lack of funding, the lack of resources. So basically, you're giving public money to private schools because public schools are failing. It's just dumbfounding.
And what about New York City's rent laws, which expired? Well, they have been renewed for 4 years. Governor Cuomo.
We have the best extension of rent protections for the people in New York City that has ever been passed.
Tenant advocates disagree. They say the governor and the state assembly sold out tenants. The bill doesn't do away with vacancy decontrol. It only raises the cap where an apartment can be deregulated from $2,500 to $2,700. It doesn't do away with 421A either, the law which gives luxury developers tax breaks, but it extends the law for 6 months while developers and labor hammer out an agreement which is said to pivot on establishing construction wages, not on the number of affordable units being built.
It's a bad deal. They're losing affordable housing units. The city needs more affordable housing units and more supportive housing units.
Bill Bosk is with Vocal New York. He's disabled and he lives in supportive housing in the Bronx.
There are people who are disabled in my program who are actually losing their buildings because the leases have going up. There is distressed property that community groups have been able to turn into affordable housing units over the past 20 years. We need to do more of that instead of giving that money, instead of giving that property to developers for luxury housing.
Voting no last night, New York Senator from Queens, Leroy Comrie, expressed extreme dissatisfaction with the legislative package.
This bill will only continue to make it harder for working class people to stay in the city. This bill will only make it harder for teachers to want to stay in underperforming schools. This bill will only make it harder for the mayor to continue to move forward in a real affordable housing plan.
And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. And New York City Comptroller Scott Stringer says over 2,000 NYCHA apartment units are empty. This while 270,000 New Yorkers are on a waiting list for public housing. His office conducted an audit which found that 1,366 apartments are empty for repairs, while another 976 are between tenants. At least 80 units have been vacant for more than 10 years. The audit covered the period between July 2012 and April 2015. Meanwhile, a coalition of churches and public housing tenants are calling for the chair of NYCHA to step down. And finally, New Jersey's Governor Chris Christie will announce on Tuesday he's running for president in 2016. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.